Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Guest today, Dara Irk. Dara, please tell us where you're calling in from and what you do for a living with Sam and Leo's.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm in Aspen, Colorado, awesome. By way of East Coast. And Sam and Leo is a teen mental health brand really formed out of a lack of products in the market for teens. So we have a line of gummy vitamins in the functional space and also a platform for resources for parents navigating teen mental health.
That's amazing. Yeah, literally, that was really my first thought when I pulled up the website is like, I've never seen like supplements or like mental health products marketed really to teens, which is arguably one of the most important times to be, you know, thinking and like, you know, like caring about your mental health at those very developmental stages. So that's amazing. And I'm just curious, like, how did you get into this space? I mean, obviously there's a clear problem in the market. So like, obviously solving that problem pretty, you know, proficiently, it seems here. That doesn't seem like anybody else is really doing this, but what got you interested in this space? Get some a little bit more about your background and what led you to, you know, wanting to create a brand like this.
Yeah, definitely. So my background has been in global health for most of my career and actually in vaccine development, and then really just navigating the space with my own kids and seeing what was in the market, and then COVID happening and really having time at home, and had this idea for a while and wanting to go into a brand building, seeing a void in the market, really. And so I kind of say, if you walk down any vitamin aisle, you're going to see kids and you're going to see adults, and there really are no teen options. Mm-hmm. 82% of teens don't take vitamins, but really looking at more than just the multivitamin, like what are our teens facing? And then I saw that with my own kids and thought, if I'm dealing with this, then there must be so many other parents dealing with it.
Yeah. So I guess from that, like, kind of consumer education side of it, which, you know, assuming, you know, most teens, their parents are probably going to be buying this. So like your consumer, I suppose, is really like your ideal customer per se, or like your customer avatar is probably still a parent, I would guess. So to that side of things, I mean, how do you kind of go about doing that consumer education that's so important in this space? I mean, I know a lot of companies will do like, you know, QR codes on the labels or like a little story on the bottle, or how do you kind of grapple with that? What's your general just kind of strategy on that side of things?
Yeah, well, I think you hit the nail on the head with the challenge. Because we are a category creator, people aren't searching for us. They're searching for kid vitamins or adult vitamins and not really knowing what kids need. And so I think we are still navigating that space and saying what the education is more what's in the market versus not. And then what our kids were using and transitioning into teens. I think also it's because it's a functional, not just a multivitamin. So the five SKUs, one of them is energy. And so really, it's just to be complex, no caffeine, because I think no 11-year-old needs a Monster or Red Bull or Prime, which is gets me in trouble in some of the energy drink circles. But if you don't even know what's available, there's a lot of education that's needed. So it's social media, it's connecting with parents, connecting with providers. It's really that brand awareness, and we're still navigating it because it seems like the beast of the mountain to climb. The other one that's really popular and people understand better once we start talking about it is for eye health. So it's lutein, marigold extract. It's only come in a capsule, never in a gummy. And so we take vitamins for everything in our body, but not our eyes, the organ we use all day long, and for eye strength and eye muscle fatigue and all of that blue light blocking. And so if you're not being, no one's even searching for it. And so that's really the challenge, is getting people aware that we exist, but then also why it's important to use these.
No, it's so true. And I mean, as you're, you know, doing product development in this space, obviously, you know, going and doing some research, I mean, obviously I could see the products, whether it's like, I see there's one for sleep, one for eye care. And I think kind of a more like, you know, just general daily vitamin. What did you kind of find that was maybe different in like, you know, what a teen body needs rather than like the two main categories, which is like for kids, obviously, you know, being that age, like you need to supplement a lot of things about your diet. And when you're older, you say like a lot of vitamins are like, you know, 60 plus, 65 plus. Obviously, you know, things start when you're that age. A little bit of maybe like deterioration, your body needs a little extra supplement for certain things like your eyes and your hair. So what did you kind of find as far as like, you know, what teens are most in need of in a daily supplement, since it's not really something that's ever been tapped into before?
So I would say that ideally your teen gets everything that they need from nutrition and food. Like that's their goal ultimately. Mm-hmm. But I joke that my kids were raised in all organic and I made my own baby food, but like my 16-year-old still wants Subway and Dr. Pepper, right?
Right.
So they're eating not the greatest food. They're starting to make their own choices about food. And so Where can we help them? I would say that it's that gender is not really an issue. Boys and girls don't really need different things at this age. You know, starting as you get older, calcium or iron or different things like that. But really, if they're not even taking a vitamin to begin with, like where can we support them? So, like going back to the energy one, B complex, they're all lacking B vitamins and energy, and then sleep cycles are off. They're gaming, they're on their phones, and so it's almost both a supplement, right? Because we know they're not getting enough B vitamins or immune. The other big one is immunity, right? So the immunity ones, echinacea, elderberry, propolis, and vitamin C, D, and zinc, because we're all sick all the time. But and it's also opening that door to have that discussion of like sleep hygiene, you know, energy, how do you take care of yourself? And so even if it's just the first supplement or even a baseline supplement, it's also having that conversation of what the body starts to need.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. And so I guess, what is your kind of when you think about, your revenue streams and the way that you're selling this? I mean, obviously you're marketing probably more to parents. I can imagine this. I can see this being probably more of a retail center thing, but that's just from the outside looking in, what I would assume. So, but let me know. Yeah, like give me a little breakdown between like, what kind of revenue channels you're taking advantage of, whether you're selling on Amazon or other marketplaces, direct to consumer through your own website and retail. Where are you kind of seeing the most growth right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. And since I'm new to the CPG world, it's been interesting to navigate. And also, as in the founder community, I think there's a lot of noise about omnichannel and where to be. And you just can't be everywhere at once when you're a startup, right? So I really fought off Amazon as long as possible, thinking I can't, I know I don't want to be there. But really, that's where people are searching and buying, especially in the supplement space. And also because I was the first eye gummy, there are now more, not so much in the independent space, but it was easier for me to find a home. I went from ranking 300 to number 6 in 3 months in eye gummy. So like that really worked for me, and my margins still work on Amazon. Would I love to own my own data and be completely Shopify and come to my own website? Yes, but that's really hard for multiple reasons. One, because like I said about the what search terms people are looking for, they're still looking for kid vitamins or adult vitamins and that teen space. So I'm still learning and like how to navigate driving that people to the Shopify site. I'm in a few stores locally in Colorado. I was in pop-up grocery in New York City kind of right off the bat, which was great. I find that kind of strangely, but makes sense, is hotels and like the spa or gift area in hotels are really unique because the packaging is quite aesthetically pleasing and it also addresses people on vacation and traveling. So sleep, energy, immunity, all that kind of stuff. So it seems to do well in those spaces. And then lastly, I've had a lot of interest from retailers, even just me pitching myself, either through like diversity programs, women-owned. And it's interesting because I have that interest, but I don't feel like I'm ready for the shelf. I think getting on the shelf is one thing, and then to be successful on the shelf is another. And so I've started those conversations with a few retailers who want to look at 5-10 stores or regionally and seeing how that can go and grow kind of more organically until you have the dollars needed to market out of those stores. But the other thing that's been interesting is when I first launched, people really thought I was going to be a coastal product, like very New York, California, teen Gen Z. But Amazon has shown that it's been Texas and Florida, which has somewhat surprised me, and also then is able allowed me to overlay some of that customer data just by location to retail stores to see where those retailers and people are buying. So I'm just starting to navigate that. And then the last part of that is the vitamin space in general. So there's not a lot of innovation in packaging or, like I said, in teens. So you're going to see jars, bottles on the, not a lot of the pouches. And the pouches are unique and people are into them. And it's just finding how they sit on the shelf right now in a physical space.
Yeah, I think you have a really healthy perspective on that, like not wanting to jump into retail too soon and kind of doing your like proof of concept through your Amazon, find out where people are buying it, like what the kind of like general situation is where people are buying. A lot of the feedback that I get in doing these podcasts with other CPG brands, and there's a I'm curious to hear your answer to this question too, but a question I always like to ask is like, if you can go back and start again, like what would be your like biggest piece of advice to yourself? And so many people say, don't try to get ahead of yourself too fast. Like start local, like, build your brand, understand your customer before you take the big leaps into the big retails or doing like, big co-packing deals or anything like that. So I think you have a really actually healthy perspective on that. I think a lot of people would just kind of like, take the money where it's coming at any given time, but I think you're doing the right things there. So I appreciate that you sharing that. And but yeah, I guess, as far as your direct to consumer through your website sales do go, where are you kind of finding most of the traffic coming from to the website? Is it
Yeah.
from your socials mostly, or what does that situation kind of look like for you?
Yeah. So, and actually, you're hitting on the parent as the consumer. I mean, if I was sitting with the energy pouch on my, on a gamer's platform and went kind of viral on a Twitch or something, like I wouldn't say no to that. But it's definitely still the parents pushing some of that. I also have to be really careful in the supplement space and selling to teens. Like, for instance, TikTok has been
True.
really interesting because the platform, I'm on TikTok as a parent, like the platform's there. And even meeting like the TikTok team in person, half the people said, nope, you can't sell a supplement to a teen on TikTok. And the other half were like, I think you can get around it. Maybe it's a wellness product. And so there's a lot of that, just navigating what can be allowed. And actually, Amazon even just changed their regulations on supplements. So like that part is constantly changing, and I'm very careful in that space. I don't want to get caught in that. I would say the social media and is driving probably the most awareness. I am, and maybe some organic PR. I'm looking at some more paid PR. It's really that brand awareness and the narrative of my journey, what I'm looking at. And the more I'm out there and giving out samples and talking to people, that seems to drive it, because like I keep coming back to the search isn't there. Or figuring out that search function and driving those channels. I think the other part I haven't explored as much is the brand partnerships and finding those the brands that are the right size with the right messaging that we can leverage this together and grow together. I'm all for supporting other brands in that space. And then I think the other thing you were hitting on before too is like supply chain and orders and that kind of stuff. And what I would have learned, like what I would have told myself when I first started this, but I definitely started this during COVID, where minimum orders were really high. I'm seeing a change in that space and changing some of that suppliers, and navigating those minimum orders as a startup has that probably has been the hardest part too. And so figuring out those channels of like trying to do giveaways and grow people, just because I had the inventory to do that too, right? And thinking about some of that inventory as marketing spend.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. And what is kind of the general, I'm just curious, like obviously social media is very fluid and ever changing. What do you kind of find as your general kind of like strategy or messaging that you try to, put through to your social media? Because I see a lot of like, newer growing brands and CPG. Some people take this like hyper transparent perspective to their posting where it's like a day in the life of the CEO, like every day, like three or four posts. And like it's very cool. I definitely resonate with that. But I'm just curious, like what kind of do you take more of like an educational approach to the things that you post on your socials? Is it kind of a mix? I'm just kind of curious on your perspective on
Yeah.
what you're posting on your socials.
I think it's a mix because I haven't found one thing that has worked for me. And that most of it, what I do know is that when I post myself and that more authentic voice, that probably does better. I also, as a founder, and any other founder is going to agree with this, there's only so much of me to go around and so much I can do. I kind of joke that I need like a director in the morning to say, like, shoot your breakfast and shoot getting ready. And then, like, tell me what you need, because there's just not enough to do that. But that material definitely resonates better. I've tried a little bit of UGC, that content. I also really believe, one, because it is a Gen Z, Gen Alpha brand, and where we're seeing the authenticity, people don't want to be sold to. And if I'm going to have someone come on and represent the brand, my ideal would be to have an ambassador who really owns it, is posting multiple times, really talking about it. Maybe it's one or two of those type of people, but not 10 or 15 different parents even saying, oh, I love my new Sam and Leo vitamins. Like, I don't think that's going to move the needle as much as someone really owning that narrative. I also haven't figured out Instagram versus TikTok versus in some of that space, YouTube. I would love to have more of a podcast presence in general, or just the platform of talking about teen mental health and more of that partnership with people who are in that space, and it being sponsored by Sam and Leo or something like that. But more of that authentic, like why I'm doing this, why I'm building this, and why their product exists, rather than just like come buy this delicious tasting vitamin. And that's the approach I've been taking. And obviously, all of that requires resources. And then the last part of that is the ad spend, right? And so, how much are you boosting any of that creative? I think that's it's all over the place about what's really needed for that ad spend, especially as a startup.
Yeah, no, it's really fascinating. And I know you mentioned TikTok, they're selling through TikTok. Are you on TikTok shop now? I know that's like one of kind of like the most recent advent on social media selling, but is that something you're interested in doing or?
Oh, without a doubt. But every time it's been a beast, because every time they invite me and then I open it up and literally it shuts down immediately. And I think a lot of founders have this experience for different reasons. For me, I think it's because of the product I'm selling. They say they can't sell a teen supplement, which is crazy because they're selling Monsters and Red Bulls and energy drinks and everything else under the sun. But here's something that's good, right? Good for them, but they won't. I would love to be on TikTok. I don't think it's the end all be all by any means. It would just be helpful. I also find that I'm pretty comfortable on TikTok live. That seems to work really well for me. And talking to people one-on-one, answering questions, I get more followers and engagement from that than most posts, which has been interesting as well. And kind of navigating that space between the like beautiful content and like the day in the life content and trying to figure that space too.
Yeah, no, it's always really interesting. I mean, posting on social is like it's just a constant test of like, one thing gets really big and then you try to double down on that and then just kind of go back to where you were. It's especially it's across the different channels. I mean, the TikTok algorithm is a mystery to everybody. It's ever changing, it's super fluid. Instagram, I feel like is a slightly more manageable in my experience, but even still, I mean, the changes that happen on a daily basis, it's not even something you can keep up on because all the information isn't out there. All the changes they made, it's like here's the code of our new algorithm that we just updated today. It's like it's not what's happening. So yeah, that's really interesting. And
I would add on to that. What I've also found is even when I'm my authentic self explaining the brand and growing that brand, it's so different than when I'm one-on-one with someone and say a psychologist who sees kids and I tell her what I'm doing, what the products are. She's like, oh my gosh, this needs to be in my waiting room. I want to give this to all my parents. Like my parents need to be giving B vitamins to their kids. And that one-on-one, and then the eyes light up and she puts it in her waiting room or tells parents. I'm trying to also figure out how to amplify that because if I say that same message on Instagram or TikTok, it doesn't have that same effect for some reason. And so finding that platform where I can be in person or navigating that or connecting seems to be better than social media, which is heartening, right? Because the whole world hasn't gone to social media, but also as a small brand, it's only, that voice is only one person. So.
Right. No, that definitely makes sense. And I know you kind of alluded to your answer to this already, but yeah, I guess I'm just curious to hear like your final answer to this question. It's just I just always enjoy the insights from it. So if you could pick that like one thing, if you go back to the beginning, I know you mentioned partial answer to that already, but yeah, just I guess tell me a little bit more about that. I mean, everything you've learned up to this point, what do you think that one big thing would be if you could go back and start again?
Have many thoughts on this. I probably comes down to community building even more, even though I thought I was doing it, even though I thought I was engaged. I think there's even more you can be doing and in different platforms, whether it's a Facebook group or just even before the product's ready or before it's out there, that community building and authentic self is so important. And not that I regret that I didn't do enough because I was doing it, but I just think there's even so much more that I could have been doing in that space while I was waiting for the product to be ready. And then really looking at other opportunities to prioritize. It's always in hindsight, the 2020 regular 2020 hindsight, but like what events and what places to be at versus not, what were a good use of my time, which were not a good use of my time. And you really don't know that until you'd start doing that. And so I now feel very passionate about helping other founders if they post on the Slack channel or something like that, saying, I would use do this and not that because your time is your commodity.
Yeah, no, that's so important too, and it's definitely something I find in the CPG space, kind of generally with these growing brands, is like there is so much willing help out there in this community of entrepreneurs, which is why I love doing the podcast and why I love just being involved in this space generally. I think a lot of these like kind of growing brands that are just kind of anti-establishment brands doing things the right way and trying to like change the narrative, change the story of like what it means to take a vitamin or what it means to buy like a frozen pizza at the grocery store can still be okay and healthy and like it doesn't need to be like the most mass-produced thing of all time, like a lot of the things you find. So I think it's kind of like a rising tides raises all ships kind of feel between this community of like CPG, younger brand entrepreneurs. So I definitely appreciate your perspective on that. I think it's really important for people, and something I'm trying to do, from my side as well. So, but yeah, that's awesome. And I just want to give you an opportunity, Dara, real quick, just to plug your website, let people know, they listen to the podcast, they love you, they want to, maybe to partner with you some potentially in some kind of capacity or just interested in buying it for their teenagers. Let
Yeah.
people know how to stay in touch with you guys.
No, I appreciate the opportunity. Yeah, so you can find us at shopsalmonleo.com. Insta and TikTok handles are all the same, shopsalmonleo. And I'm also open to all partnerships and even sampling. Happy to send out samples to people for reviews or if you have teens in your life or kids in your life. The other thing is all of the vitamins are safe for age 4 and older. So they're good for everyone, but this has really been created for the market need of teens and really support all entrepreneurs in this journey. So happy to partner with people and answer questions like in that capacity as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much there. I really appreciate you coming on again. And yeah, just wish you the best of luck and continued success. And yeah, we'll definitely be in touch soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dara.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.